Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brothers, family, and loved ones, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, has there ever been a time in your life in which you thought you knew someone so well, you'd been around them for so long, they were like second nature to you? But then they said or they did something that was a total shock. You didn't expect it in the least. It was so out of character. You'd never imagined it. But they did it. And you take a step back to reflect and you begin to think that it is almost as if you don't even know them. That's precisely what ought to happen as we hear the parable and our Lord's explanation as it comes to us in the gospel reading for this day. We have got to be shocked by God's action in that parable as represented by the sower. What that shocking reaction exposes, though, is how very, very little we know God and how very easily we tie him down to doing what we think he ought to be doing, going about things the way in which we think he ought to be doing them. God doesn't fit the molds that we make for him, however. He very often does what is totally unexpected and what seldom fits patterns of human reason. And because of that, there is hope. Hope even for us. For this word of God today is directed to all who have ears to hear. Those ears we have been given by the Holy Spirit. They are the ears of faith, faith in Jesus Christ, faith growing from the bountifully and wildly sown seed of the Word of God. This parable, recorded by all of the synoptic writers, finds Jesus continuing to teach people. Here, as he often did, Jesus made use of a parable. In fact, Matthew, in his recounting, recalls that Jesus often used parables for teaching. Parables were earthy little stories, the kind to which the regular guy could relate. The parables that Jesus told, however, had two rather uncommon characteristics. They always related something about the way in which God works in the hearts and lives of people, and they always carried a delayed surprise. Those two characteristics work together because, you see, people listening to these little stories had pretty much made up their minds about the way in which God went about his business in the world. They had him figured out. They had the box made, and they put him in it. In the parables Jesus told, however, gentle and earthy and rather so what, there was built in this time bomb that served to explode the box that people had made for God. A not-so-gentle unsettling, showing that God does things his way, in his time, no matter what preconceived molds and boxes people might fashion for him. Parables had a way of hitting people long after they first heard them, of being that little grain of sand in a shoe that is enough to let you know it's there, but then never quite enough to make you stop and go to the trouble to pull off that shoe. Harmless. These little parables appeared really quite harmless. Quaint stories intended to entertain and even to teach, but never to explode, never to unsettle. This one Jesus told, no doubt, brought a smile to most faces. Some probably shook their head and looked away from him in an embarrassing chuckle. The smiles and the chuckles came because people were shocked by any so-called farmer who would go about sowing the way that this guy did, scattering seed in some pretty unlikely places, places any good and careful farmer would avoid. Why, a good farmer would simply know better. A careful sower of seed wouldn't waste the time, the effort, and the seed on the walking path or rocky places and on ground overrun with thorns. A good and careful farmer planting seed, and seed doesn't come cheaply, would keep to the good soil where you expect to see some plentiful results. People would think the same today as they thought back then. It makes no difference whether you plant by hand scattering as you walk along or by machine as you drive through acres row upon row. You're simply careful. You're careful to stick with the better soil. You stay away from places piled with rocks or overgrown by weeds. It just makes good agricultural sense, right? And the little grain of sand rubbing away in your shoe irritates and raises this question. If it makes good sense to plant only in good soil, then why the world does God bother with me? He is the one who bothers. This parable is about him. It is about the way he goes about his work in our lives and in this world. Although Jesus does not specifically identify God as the sower of the seed, he does say that the seed is the word of God. It is, as St. Matthew recalls, the very message about the kingdom. To those folks listening to this mild little story about a rather careless liberal farmer who sows so wildly, there would probably come to mind that well-established image of God from the Old Testament, from writers like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Zechariah, God, the great sower. The unsettling thing, however, is that here God would be so seemingly foolish, so wasteful of otherwise good seed, so careless that he would plant where no one else would even consider, that he would bother, that he would risk when on the surface it appeared very futile. For example, that he would sow among people who were not keeping his law perfectly enough. That he would sow among those whose blood was not pure enough to have their lineage traced directly back to Father Abraham. That he would sow among those not learned enough, not smart enough, not old enough, not this or that enough. You can fill in the blanks with your own not enoughs. The bad soils outnumber the good 3-1. But there he is, the great sower sowing, scattering seed in the most unlikely places, neither cautious nor calculating about what he's doing. And the usual agricultural expectation of that day would have been a tenfold yield, but Jesus says here, 100-fold. Ground, you see, even good soil, would never be expected to produce more than 10-fold. But here, different story. And it's always a different, totally unexpected story when God is the sower and his word and ways are being wildly and abundantly scattered. Human expectations are always blown to bits and human reason is left flapping in the breeze. Through the history of New Testament preaching, preachers have literally worked these soils to death, especially those poor soils, using those soils to kind of vent their spleen on the hard-headed, hard-hearted, low-commitment, anemic, pleasure-choked people in front of them. Truth is, though, if you have ears to hear it and eyes to see it, We're all represented by these lousy soils. Within our lives, even in this moment, there exists those soils. For example, we are so often like the packed down, concrete, hardened path, conceited in our own rightness, solidified with stubborn self-centeredness. That bird of prey, Satan, has easy pickings of God's word when it falls on us. Doesn't take much to let us let go of the promises of God, especially when we can't see some immediate return on our investment. We're all often, even today, like that packed down path. Thank God, we often find ourselves saying, whenever the seed of the word of God is sown in the preaching of that word, thank God I'm not quite like that, although some of them sure are, but I'm not quite there. We hear the message about the kingdom, but we don't get it. It's not about us. It's not for us. It's about somebody else. It's for them. And we're like the rocky ground, too, all of us, shallow enthusiasts too much of the time, gushing with all the joys and all the blessings of salvation in Christ, quick to wear trinkets of faith around wrists and necks and on our lapels. But boy, as soon as the long and hard pull of life begins to take its toll, as soon as following Christ brings pain or trial, sadness or loss, as soon as someone says, take up your cross, we're looking for the first door out. No roots, shallow commitment. And thorny soil, too. Weed patches, we are by nature. God plants the beautiful rose of his love for us in Jesus Christ into this weed patch of our lives, and still we so often prefer to stand back and admire the weeds, to cultivate, if you will, junk. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about these things, writes St. Paul in Philippians 4. And yet, we often prefer junk. So go the soils. But there's another soil in this parable as well. Good soil. What makes this soil good, however, is not something inherent in it, but rather that which comes from it. The soil produces far more than anyone could ever begin to expect, 100-fold. When God plants his word, when he plants his love into our hearts, the harvest is mind-blowing. What makes for the goodness of the soil is the power of the word of God to produce even in the lousiest of conditions. But that is precisely the way the word works. Isaiah wrote it, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. It will rather accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. There you've got it. The word works. It is alive, living, says the writer to the Hebrews. It is active, sharp as a double-edged sword, cutting to the quick, accomplishing that for which God sends it. And he sends it, he sows it, that it might sprout into life and produce within us lost, dead, desert, thorn-loving people that which the world around could never, ever begin to expect. Everlasting life with the Lord and giver of life. Now think about this. Almighty God risks everything in his love for us lost sinners. He actually lays into our very arms his infant son, true God and true man. He lays Jesus into our arms and lets us carry him, and we do just that. We carry him to the cross. He daily crowns our lives with love and compassion, and we crown him with something from the wheat patch. It is just that he doesn't do things the way we think he ought to. You see, there he is welcoming little children, babies, to come to him, for to them too belongs the kingdom of God, and we shoo them away. There he is with his arms open wide, welcoming and forgiving a woman caught in the very act of adultery, and we tisk him for talking to the likes of her when he has better folks waiting nearby. He calls us to forgive one another, and we reach for our calculators, wondering aloud just how many times that ought to be happening in home and church and world. He calls us to take up our cross and follow him, and we begin wondering where that's covered in the call documents. And yet, God plants his word. Without counting the cost or measuring out each little seed, God plants his love for us sinners into our hearts and lives in his Son, Jesus Christ. He welcomes us again. Again this day, he invites us with open arms. He speaks into our hearts his word of forgiveness again, and it is so. All the while, again this day, God is sowing his word here among rocks and packed paths and thorns. But some will indeed fall upon soil and into hearts where the most amazing and miraculous thing will happen. Someone will say, "This God loves me. He has purchased me from my sin and my death and from Satan's hold. How he loves me." And that is the unexpected, out of this world crop yielding, oh, a hundredfold. All because he sows his word with gracious, reckless, loving abandonment, even today among us, soil and conditions as they are. He is expecting something great. Most continue chuckling and shaking their heads at this great sower. How stupid to waste precious seed, even more precious, his love, upon soil like this. And soil like this. But of course, people have chuckled before, shaking their heads in unbelief. It happened as this great sower's lifeless body was buried away. It's what they had expected. God in the box, where he belongs. Until, of course, that seed exploded into life, and the harvest has just begun. Into this harvest, God calls you, my brothers, my yoke fellows soon to be. Sow the seed of the living word, just as the great sower has sown it into your heart and home and life, abundantly, lavishly, freely, faithfully. But get ready to hear and to see the unexpected. In the name of Jesus.